The last song we just sang was "The Commandments Are Pure and Right." So, last verse. The sermon that I have today goes along with that last song. The title of the sermon would be "How to Understand Difficult Scriptures." How to understand difficult scriptures. So what I'm going to do today is give you a difficult scripture and ask you whether you know the meaning of that scripture. And then we'll take and divide the scripture apart and see what the Bible says about it so that we can fully understand it. Now, the reason that I'm doing this is because we know there are many difficult scriptures in the Bible, and we know that people twist the scriptures to their own desires, I guess we would say. If they believe in something, then it doesn't matter what the Bible says. They'll find some scripture that will back them up. We know that Peter said this about Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3. If we'll go there, please. He said in verse 15, we can start there, 2 Peter 3 and verse 15, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to us. And also in all his epistles," and he wrote 13 of them, he wrote most of the New Testament, that is under the inspiration of God. We know that everything is inspired by God. "Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction." And then notice also, because usually we dwell on the very difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul, but then it says, "as they do also the rest of the scriptures." So Paul is hard enough to understand, but even the easy-to-understand scriptures, so to speak, they still twist. And why do they twist? Well, in order to get rid of the law of God. So let's go to a scripture here, Galatians 2:19. Galatians 2 and verse 19. Here we find a book that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God. So if it's under the inspiration of God, it was meant to be hard to understand. I think we all have to understand that. We have to realize that God does not want the world to fully understand. If it's too easy to understand, if it's simple, then no one has any excuse. Now, no one has an excuse concerning the belief that there's a God. He's told us that. You know, they are without excuse, definitely. So when an atheist comes up in the resurrection and they try to come up with an excuse, God's going to say, "You don't have any excuse at all. You willingly became ignorant is what you did. You have no excuse." And then if they brought up, "Well, you know, Paul didn't make it very easy to understand," God will say, "You have an excuse." Okay, I'll give you an excuse on that one for those who weren't called, because his writings are difficult to understand. If they were easy to understand, then they would have had to do them. They would be accountable for following scriptures. But since it's pretty tough, then we have to figure out what it means. So Galatians 2:19, there's a scripture, "I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Now, what does that mean? As I read through it, and of course, I've spent a lot of time in Galatians in the last year and a half or so, but you come across scriptures like this, and if you really don't know what the full meaning is, you just read it and go on to the next scripture where you can explain it, the meaning of the next verse. But this is a hard to understand scripture. "I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." So you'd be thinking about that before we go to some of the scriptures to explain it. I'll actually divide it into three sections. One is through the law, I died to the law, and then that I might live to God. So there's three parts to it. But here's what the Bible tells us now when it comes to a difficult scripture. Because when you take a scripture like that, it's understandable to a certain extent based on context of the entire book and the scriptures around it. It is. But you have to do other things too, in some cases, to understand. So here's what God tells us to do, and we can come back to this after we go to three or four other scriptures here. Just as a reference, in John 5:39, Jesus Christ said, search the scriptures, for in them you have life. So we are to search the scriptures out. And we do remember the Bereans, remember the book of Acts where Paul was there in Berea, and they were the ones who searched the scriptures diligently. Now, I didn't even have that in my notes, but it goes along with all the other scriptures that we have concerning trying to understand difficult scriptures. They were searching diligently to find out if these things are true. And we have to do that, because if we search out, then we have an answer for people who ask. If we have been diligent, we can say, you know, it's been a while since I searched it out, so I forget all the scriptures to it, but I can tell you this, 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 and this. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Here, Paul is telling Timothy, what to do when it comes to scriptures. So, now, Timothy was one who was raised under the law, or with the Bible, let's put it this way. He knew the law, and the prophets, and the writings. He understood the Old Testament scriptures to a great extent. But even he is told by the Apostle Paul in verse 15, this is 2 Timothy 2, in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved by God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, dividing the word of truth, we'll see as we go through this subject of through the law, died to the law, lived to God. We'll see that we have to divide the scriptures properly, that we have to take a look at context, and we have to divide some scriptures from other scriptures. And divide means to divide, literally divide. In other words, not every scripture can explain another scripture, right? There are some scriptures that explain scriptures that are on the same subject, and others that seem to be on the same subject are not and can't explain those. So you can't go to, the Song of Solomon to explain the book of Romans. That would be a horrible way to connect the scriptures. Now, maybe there'd be one or two, but I can't think of any right now. By the way, I think Mr. Armstrong mentioned when I was in college that he read the book of Song of Solomon once in his life. Once. I think I've read it maybe twice. How many times have you read, anybody read that? Three or four times? So if you read through the whole Bible, probably. There we go. Just in your reading, you're going to do that. It's one I tend to skip. It's like, yeah. Why do I want to know about the love life of Solomon? But anyway, there's a reason for it. It's actually one of those books that is a book connected with the Holy Days. But divide the Bible properly, rightly dividing. In other words, people can twist scriptures because they're not rightly dividing the scriptures. And then also we find here in Isaiah 28, verse 10 and 13. Isaiah chapter 28, 10 and 13. And by the way, as I'm going to Isaiah here, I'm reminded of Jeremiah. If you've missed out on some of the FI online classes by Dr. Levy, make sure you go back and cover them. They are just excellent. Like I mentioned last time, I think he's covered the book about 20 times. He said, in the last one, he doesn't even know how many times he's actually taught it. He's taught it so many times. But anyway, in Isaiah 28, we read in verse 10, and some people even twist this one. I remember in 1994 people twisting this one because they wanted us to be able to read Paul and just take Paul for what he said right then and there in the one verse, that they could pull it out and come to a conclusion. And so they twisted Isaiah 28, but it actually does mean that we have to go to a scripture here and a scripture there to understand. Precept must be upon precept, Isaiah 28, verse 10. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people. Well, you have to search out. If it's with stammering tongue, you better know what it says here, what it says there, and what it says someplace else about the same subject. And again, the same words are spoken in verse 13. Precept upon precept, and it goes through. And then it says that they might go and fall backward in verse 13 here, and be broken and snared and caught. And the reason that people twist the Bible, the reason that they are snared by the Bible, is because we don't have one book on sacrificial law. It's just not there. And then the next book on how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ replaces sacrificial law. You just don't have the segment. You know, that's the chapter heading. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be great. But it's just not that way. So people are snared and they fall back and they're not accountable. It's basically the bottom line. Okay, so let's come back to the scripture in Galatians 2 and verse 19. Galatians 2 and verse 19. Here it tells us, I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Now, I'm not going to go through the context of Galatians at this time. Because even if I did, we would not be able to fully understand what Paul is getting at. We have to see what Paul says in other places. So if you put all Paul's writings together on the subject, you get a greater understanding. But when you think of law, what do you think of? Just in your mind, how many laws can you think of that are mentioned in the Bible? Just laws. And I can think law of God is mentioned. There's a law of sacrifices that is mentioned. There would be the commandments that are mentioned as laws. Then there are just laws besides commandments. Statutes would be laws. Judgments would be laws based on laws, of course. So you have those laws. Then you have the law of sin and death. Have you ever heard of that law? So is it any of these? And then law, of course, is by itself so many times. Nomos. And you don't have, and I don't have any idea of what is being said except by context and by reference of other scriptures on the same subject. So you have law. Then you have commandments, statutes, judgment, civil law. I didn't mention that one, but that would be also, statutes and judgments, that's part of the civil law. And then what about deeds slash works of law? That's another mention in the Bible. Not a lot, but it's mentioned. And deeds and works are the same word, by the way. So I count here, if you want to break it down, 9 times, counting law generically. And the law of sin and death, and there's another law connected with that. So which one is it now that Paul is talking about? So that gives us something to think about, doesn't it? I was thinking that the way I should introduce this is to sit down now for 5 minutes and then have everybody put down in writing something where they could tell themselves, ourselves, what this means. And then maybe we could take turns and everybody could come up and would say, well, I believe that it's saying this. But I don't think you'd like that. This is not family club or or a Bible study where we could do something like that. But through the law, I died to the law. So what does this mean? Through the Ten Commandments, I died to the Ten Commandments. Does that make sense? And by the way, I'll tell you right now that these nine things I mentioned is none of those. At least in the first part. In the first part, it's not a one of them. None. Through the law is not what he really meant. He didn't mean that. He didn't mean through the law, which is really good, that he died to the law. It's not what he meant. So we'll see what that is. Now, died to the law, the second part, is one of those things I mentioned. And if you tie them together, you'll see actually both laws are very connected, very close to one of these descriptions that I mentioned. Okay, so we'll divide it down from there. Are you all ready for this? You want to know. And by the way, brethren, let's remember that Galatians is the book everybody uses to try to do away with God's law. And so they're going to say that this scripture does away with the law. That's what they will say. And it's important to understand. Okay, so we have about 40 minutes to go through this subject. Galatians 2:19, through the law, I died to the law. So where we're going to go with this first, through the law, what does that mean? We're going to go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, first of all. And we're going to spend a lot of time in Romans because Romans actually expands on what Paul said in the book of Galatians in some points. Not all points, but some points. So we find in Romans 7, what shall we say then in verse 7? Okay, we'll start there. Romans 7 and verse 7. Is the law sin? Certainly not, on the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Now this tells us all that when he's talking about the law, he's talking about the commandments. Because you shall not covet is one of the commandments, as we know. So there's no question about what he's saying in verse 7. I would have not known sin except through the law. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil, for apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, if there were no law, there would be no sin, right? Certainly. When Paul fully understood the law and the spirit of God's law, he knew that he had sinned. He certainly did. So if you threw the law away, if you grew up in an environment where there was no law whatsoever, and I think someone told Marion, my first wife, the other day, that that when she grew up, she did not know about the commandment on stealing. She did not know stealing was wrong. So this would be, you know, there's no sin unless you had been told that this is sin. And once you're told stealing is a sin, now you're accountable. Apart from the law, sin was dead. Okay, so now, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, talking about you shall not covet, or any of the Ten Commandments, which was to bring life, okay, was there anything wrong with commandments? Were the commandments to bring life? Okay. The answer is, well, it says here the commandment was supposed to bring life. I found to bring death. Okay, now, if I'm a good Protestant, I'm going to say, see, commandments only bring death. That's why God had to do away with the commandments. But is Paul finished here? And remember what Peter said, Paul wrote things hard to be understood. So if we have some type of problem going on in our mind fighting, you know, topics here like, oh, maybe I'm in the wrong church, maybe I better get out, maybe I don't need to keep the Sabbath, because this is what people begin thinking. Now, verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Sin killed me. Now we ask the question right here, does the command, you shall not kill or steal or bear false witness, does that kill you? And it doesn't say that. It said, sin killed me. Sin killed me. Okay? Very important. In fact, I have in my margin, key. This is a key scripture. Sin killed me. Then verse 12. The law is holy, and also the commandment is holy, just, and good. So he backs that statement up about sin killing me with the law is holy and it's just and good. So it doesn't kill you. Now verse 13. Another key verse here. Has then what is good become death to me? Has what is good become death to me? Now what is good? Now here's what you have to do here. Has then the law, okay, the law is holy, just, and good. The commandment, better specifically, is holy, just, and good. So what you can do here is put, has then the commandment become death to me? Because he just said the commandment is good, and the law, he said, is holy. So we just replace the word. It's fine to do that because he just said it. And now we can say and put in there, has the commandment become death to me? And the answer is no, no. Commandment has not become death to me. Certainly not. So we're all on the right page here, right? We can all understand that. Simple of saying, you know, 1 = 2 = 3. We learn that in probably grade school now. Some of the math that they're learning now in grade school is just above my head. By the time they get to the eighth grade, I can't figure it out, right? So if commandment equals good, then good equals not death. Just however you want to put it there. Commandment is not death to me. Certainly not. What is death to me? He answers next. Very next statement, but sin. Sin is death to me. Now, what is sin? Well, we can answer that, but does sin have to do anything with the law? And the answer is sin is the four words, transgression of the law. Okay? Sin, that it might appear as sin, was producing death in me through the commandment, through what is good. And he just said, commandments are good. So in this study that we're going through, you can see Romans 7:13 is a real key scripture. Very much a key scripture. That commandments are good, sin equals death, but sin through what is good is what produced death in me. Now, what we have here now is a pause where we have to put down the definition of sin. That's very important in all of this because we're going to expand and enlarge our statement. Sin is a transgression of the law, okay? And if we need, sometimes we take it for granted, that, in fact, I don't even have this in my notes, but sometimes we take it for granted. 1 John 3:4, I like the King James better. Sin is a transgression of the law. In New King James, sin is lawlessness, 1 John 3:4. So what we have now is we come back to some questions. Did the law and commandments that are good become death to me? The answer, no. We just figured that out. It's very plain. What caused us to die? And we just found that out. Sin deceived us and sin killed us. So when we put all this together now and we come back to Galatians 2 and verse 19, we can see how we explain or define through the law. And before we leave Romans 7, I think it's very important to point out something in verse 13. Romans 7:13 said, through what is good. Okay, through what is good. Now remember, we're asking the question, through the law, okay, that's through what is good. Through what is good. So through the law, what did he mean through the law? Well, verse 13, through what is good, sin was producing death in me through what is good. So what we all want to do is in our notes back in Galatians 2:19, put Revelation 7:13, sin produces death through what is good, through the law. Romans 7, verse 13. What did I say? Something wrong. Revelation, did I say? Aha, she's right once. The problem I have here is there are 55 witnesses against me in all of this. I said, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say Revelation. Oh, yes, you did. Also, it's on tape. That's a generic term these days. They still say tape. So, very important, Galatians 2:13, through the law, this is the first section that we've gone through now, through the law would be through transgression of the law. This is what Paul meant by through the law, and we'll see as this ties all together. Through the law, because there's nothing wrong with the law. If I keep the law, if I stop at a stop sign, the chances of me dying by going through the intersection are small. The chances of me getting hit from behind are greater, I suppose, because I stopped. But it's very important to look at the law now. There's nothing wrong with the law. It is holy, it is just, it is good. So why would I die? Why would I die? The wages of sin is death. So why would I die? I would not die at all. But if I sin, now we got a problem here. So Galatians 2 and verse 13, 19. I'll get this right yet. Galatians 2 and verse 19, we would say, through the transgression of the law, I died to law. Through the transgression of the law, I died to law. But now we have to go, I died to law. What does that mean? We're breaking this down. We went to the book of Romans to see a full explanation of through the law. And we might say at this point, well, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. There's not enough. If I'm on a jury, you just can't do that. That's not enough. Through the law just means through the law. But we have enough evidence to start this whole situation out. We'll see what else it says. Okay, I died to the law. Where do we go with that? I died to the law. Now, what does that mean? I died to keeping the commandments. In other words, I'm not supposed to keep the commandments anymore. I'm not supposed to keep judgments anymore. I'm not supposed to be holy and just and good anymore. I died. See, I'm dead, and the commandments have no effect on me anymore. No, I died. So why would you die? Through transgression of the law, I died. Through transgressing the law, I died. Right? Now, to the law. Okay, so we'll come back now to the book of Romans and follow up to the context of Romans 7. It won't take long to do this. We're going to do a quick study of the word died or death at the end of Romans 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7. It's all you have to do. Context. Context in it all, right? So if you have a highlighter, and I have some, we need to buy more. It's starting to run out. Buy these little pencils, highlighters. You can get red pencils, whatever. So what we have starting out in Romans 5, verse 21. Sometimes you have to go back that far to get the context. So what does Romans 5, 21 say? So that is sin reigned in death. Now, what does that mean? Well, you have to look the word up. Reigned means, and that word is used, the reign of God in the millennium. The word reign, it means exercising the highest influence. So sin exercised the highest influence in our lives, ending in death. It reigned in death. It got its full authority when we die because of sin. That's where sin has everything over us. If we end up in the lake of fire, we can say sin reigned. Not God. Sin reigned. We ended up in the lake of fire. So exercising the highest influence and authority in our life. And we're going to see that that is mentioned in Romans 6. Okay, Romans 6 and verse 2. We're going to take a look at, remember, I died to the law, so what do we die to? Romans 6 and verse 2. We who died to sin. Oh, that's a good start. We died to sin. You make a note of that. Verse 3, baptized into death. There is a death that we have to go through, but we die to something. When we're baptized, we're dying to something, okay? Verse 6, the old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with. There we go. Crucified is kind of dying, wouldn't you say? Crucifying is dying. And what is dying here? The old man. We've got the death of the old man. So here you have death of old man. Verse 7. Died, freed from sin. Oh, that's good. Died, free from sin. Now you can kind of start thinking of what's going to die. Died to what law? Well, we already have the term died to sin. Is that going to count? Died to sin. Maybe that would be something we could put in that in the place. Died to sin. Verse 11. And there's a couple verses I'm not even going through, but notice verse 10. Died to sin. Verse 10. Verse 11. Dead indeed to sin. Now, how many of us had really gone through this and see how many times the word death was mentioned and what death was all about? Has to do with sin, I think. Okay, verse 16. Don't you know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are either the one slave whom you obey, whether of sin to death, or obedience to righteousness. Okay, verse 20 and 21. When you were slaves of sin, now what do I think of? I think of Romans 5, sin reigns over us. Now, if I'm a slave of sin, sin is reigning over me, right? And this is all about sin so far. Something you want to kill is sin. So, you were slaves of sin, you sure weren't righteous if you're slaves of sin. And what fruit did you have then in those things that end in death? Verse 21. There's death again because of sin. Having been set free from sin, that's good. And then verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Now, does that tell us something here? All those scriptures didn't take long to go through, maybe 4 minutes to go through that section. And that's it. So when you think of coming back to the scripture, through the law I died to what law? What law is he talking about here? Also transgressing the law? Which would be sin, is that it? Also transgressing the law? Do we want to die to transgressing the law? And that's, yes, absolutely. I would like to be dead to transgressing the law. That's what I want to die to. I want to go into a watery grave, and I want to get rid of the old man that sins. That's the one I want to kill, okay? die to transgressing the law. Well, let's go on a little bit here because 7 is kind of a conundrum when you stop to think of it. Or, brethren, don't you know the law? Verse chapter 7. Now, this is an interesting part here because you can start reading this and think, no, it's the commandments. But notice, don't you know the law? The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. What law has dominion? What law is he talking about here? Well, we just went through Romans 6, and what law were we talking about? Something having to do with sin, transgressing the law. The woman has a husband bound to her husband as long as he lives. If the husband dies, she's released or freed from the law of her husband. If while her husband lives, she marries another, she'll be called an adulteress. If her husband dies, she's free from that law, okay? Notice that, free from the law. What law do we want to be free from? The Ten Commandments, society says. Ten Commandments, here we go. You want to be free from the Ten Commandments. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law. Ah, see, we're dead to the law. Now, that's the same expression that Paul used over in Galatians 2:19. Died to the law. So if you want to make a note there, you could say Galatians 2:19, dead to the law, through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. Now, we talked about free from the law, okay? What do we want to be free from? Back up in verse 3, she is free from that law. Now, I don't want to lose you here because this is such a key. All you have to do is go back to verse 22 of chapter 6. Can you find what law you're free from? She is free from that law. Verse 22 says, now having been set free from sin. I would draw a line there. Draw a line from free from that law to free from sin, because you got the same language here. Free. Free from something. What does Paul want us to be free from? Transgressing the law. Free from that law. Is it a law, though? Is sin a law? Now we have to start asking that question. Is sin a law? And you think, yeah, sin is not a law. Protestants will tell you that. Sin is not a law. Sin is transgressing the law. Sin itself is not a law. But, you know, he's wrong. Because we're going to go down, maybe I can, let's see how much time we have here. Verse 5 of chapter 7, before we get to answer the question, is sin a law? You come back to verse 5 of chapter 7, where it says the passions of sin yield the fruit of death. So sin is the, we're picking on sin again. Verse 4, dead to the law. Verse 6, but now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. What were we held by in chapter 6? What was reigning over us in chapter 5? Sin reigned over us. So what are we held by? It's sin. So, is that a law then? Because we're held by gravity. We're held by gravity. Is this a law? But we've been delivered from what we were held by. What have we been delivered from? The Ten Commandments. And the answer is no. Yeah, we're not even in that area. It's all about sin here. So, let's come down a little bit here. We have sin is producing death in verse 13. We already covered that. Now let's go to verse 21 through 24 and see what Paul says. I find then a law, and this is the first time that he's going to mention this. This is chapter 7 and verse 21. Excuse me. I find a law, that evil is present within me, or with me, the one who wills to do good. That's a law. That is a law. I delight in the law of God according to the inner man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Okay, so remember Romans 7, something we're held by. What are we held by? If you're in captivity, are you held by something? So what are we held by? Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. The law of sin. Ah, so there's a law. There's a law of sin that we are held by, that reigns over us, that brings us into captivity. Putting it all together. You see why you have to go Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7. We're held by the law of God? Not yet. Not if we don't have God's Spirit. We want to be slaves of righteousness. So there is a time to be captivated, and we want to be captivated through God's Spirit. And that's that last point. But here it is so clear. This is one of the other scriptures that is key to this entire context. Verse 23. The other law, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There's two opposing laws. Law of God, law of sin. And what do we want to be delivered from? The law of God or the law of sin? The world wants to be delivered from the law of God. And then they want to come back and pick the ones they want. Oh yeah, stealing's a good one. I don't want Doug over there to steal from my wallet. He's going to get the $2 that I hope to save up for our anniversary for the $5 that I'm going to spend on Marion. Whatever. But you see where we're going with this? Law of sin, law of God. And this is what it's all about, kind of in a summary statement. But it's asking, who's going to deliver me? So now we have... If we go back to Galatians 2 and verse 19, we can say, through the transgression of the law, makes a little more sense now, sin, through the transgression of the law, I died to the law of sin, or you could say I died to the transgression of the law, but now the law of sin even gives it more power, doesn't it? Sin has a lot of power because it captivates us. And then you could put dash, evil present within me, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. Ah, so law of sin, also law of sin and death. Now, that's where you go with this, and if you want me to repeat it, through the transgression of the law, I died to the law of sin. Okay, why? Because when I transgressed the law, I realized, Paul said, I had to repent, bury the old man dies, and now I come up in newness of life. Okay. So we have the last part here now. That I might live to God. That I might live to God. So where would we go? Do we go with that? We have 12 minutes to figure that one out, but it's pretty easy. That I might live to God. Galatians 2, and let's go to that chapter again to see what follows verse 19. So if that I might live to God, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, what do I do with that one? Well, I'm thinking, if Christ lives in me, what lived in me before? Paul was summing up in Romans 7 something else that was in him or with him or that was a law. And what was it? If we don't have Christ living in us, we have evil living in us. That's what he said. I find another law that evil is with me. Evil is with me. So now you have the two opposing forces. You have the law of God, the law of sin, you have Christ in me, or you have evil in us. That's coming back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where mankind decided for themselves what they were going to live by. I'll decide whether it's good to do this or good to do that. So, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Why? Because we buried something, and it was the old man. It was sin. We bury the old man with the evil present in the old person. And even in Romans 6, it says we come up in newness of life. So we have to be tying in Romans 6, 5, 6, and 7 when we explain this section to fully explain it. Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if I'm living by faith in the Son of God, and the answer is, it's not faith in, it's faith of. If Christ is in us, now we have the faith of Christ, right? And that's where the New King James goes so far off, because it's mistranslated. It's mistranslated. It's pistis Christos, however they say it. It's faith Christ is what it is. And the in is not there. However, if you can go, you can go other places in Galatians where you have faith in Christ, and there's one place, and if the in is supposed to be there, it's there. In the Greek, it is. But if it's not supposed to be there, if it's faith of Christ, it's just the two words. Belief in Christ is also there at least once. So we must believe in Christ, of course. But we must have the faith of Christ if Christ is going to live in us. Otherwise, what are we going to do if we don't have the faith of Christ in us? We're going to sin. We're going to sin. Faith is only fulfilled completely by works. So, we can go to many other scriptures here, but I think we've handled it enough at this point. I think if we just go to more scriptures, we're just backing up what we've said already. But you can take a look at newness of life, Christ in us, the hope of glory, Christ lives in me. Galatians even says later on in chapter 4, we are transformed into the image of Christ. You see, all that ties into that I might live to God, because that's the explanation. So I hope this is helpful to us. The whole purpose of the sermon that I'm giving is to show us how to understand difficult scriptures. So it's not just this one here. Do you see how many scriptures it took to really complete the understanding of that one verse? And you can see now why people can take and twist what the Apostle Paul said by the inspiration of God. So with the world, let's give them a buy. They get a buy on this, because God doesn't want them to understand unless he calls them. When he calls them, he gives them the chance. And some say, I want nothing to do with the calling. They still get a buy until they have the Spirit of God. God gives them a buy, or enough of the understanding from the Spirit of God. Sometimes we wonder about the Pharisees. They almost committed the unpardonable sin. Not quite. But I think this helps us to take scriptures, rightly divide them, look a little here, a little there, and finally gain understanding. Happy study.